It's been almost a year, guys. Because if you look at the minutes, May 17th, 2012.
Wow.
So I think the first order of business, if you can remember this far back as to the minutes, and if you can't, just come up with a motion to perfunctorily approve anyway. So we need to, have a motion to approve the minutes as submitted by our erstwhile rep here, Linda.
I'll make that motion.
Thanks, Carrie. We have a second?
Second.
Second. Deb, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, well, we've got a lot of things to cover today, so I'm going to turn it over to Linda, and we do have a new representative who represents the Historic Commission, and that's Carrie Barbero.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting, the Historic Commission, that kind of got started, I don't know how many years ago, but the Springfield Rotary Club.
Oh, okay.
Decided that we needed to have a museum. So we put together a kiosk with mm-hmm. a bunch of logging artifacts.
Right.
And then went to before the city council to petition that they really needed to have a true historic commission.
Right.
And so at that juncture, then, the club kind of backed out. But somebody needed to kind of juice, the discussion a little bit. So that's a long time ago.
Yeah,
Pardon?
When was a long time ago?
It must have been in, when was this historic commission first put together?
That's what I was asking.
Yeah.
Well, the Washburn Historic District was developed in 1984, so I believe. So
probably
was
about
the commission before that time?
Yeah. The museum was a little bit before, 2 years before that.
Yeah, so I think it was like 1981, 82.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Just out of this spur of the moment.
Well, it was just one of these things where people had a long history with Springfield, and we have quite a history as a city.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, well, what's going to get people out and get them kind of excited about this? Probably wood products, logging, because that's mm-hmm. What people were wanting
sure.
to see. And so, we took this kiosk around to the mall, which we had at the time, City Hall here, and two or three other places, just to kind of get exposure to get. But a long time ago. So again, welcome.
Thank you.
So Linda, do you want to go ahead and since we've had our minutes that have been approved, Courtney's not here. So where are we with regards to the next present order?
Well, the first thing is there any public comment? No public comment? Okay. So the next item is discussion downtown plan implementation, and that's going to be John Tamulinas.
Courtney couldn't make it tonight, so.
Okay.
I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the things that we've been looking at doing for some period of time. And I used to have these great big things, so this is more for looking at later on. We have a list of things that we're supposed to do in the first 120 days, and we've done the vast majority of those. Securing the Mills Site Plaza in the next 6 months or year or so. It's been about 19 months since it was adopted, and so we're in discussions with property owners, and we may be going to council in the latter part of this month to hopefully have the council or the Urban Renewal Agency secure the first property of the Mill Plaza site. So we've been working with the property owner for some time, and he's been changing his business plan a little bit, and we're hoping that that will actually materialize, so we can buy the property over a period of time. And we initially thought we might stretch that over 10 years, and it may be that we just buy it, and then we'll take out a loan to do that and use the rents from the building itself property to pay that back. And then developing a high-speed rail plan. Right now, what we have to do is get sort of on the agenda for the high-speed rail between here and Portland. And I may have mentioned at some point that when I was coming out of the university as a graduate student in 1979, my thesis was on getting passenger rail between here and Portland, and they figured it was going to take 20 years. So it's been 33 years since I got out of graduate school. And we still don't have the real plan, and they're looking at it 20 years out, but I was planning for that. We actually had some rail, and so they were looking at a downtown Eugene location to Portland, and they're looking at a number of things, including paths that might be I-5, looking at Gateway as a potential location, downtown Springfield may be there, but it's probably got the best shot at it because we've got the LTD station in downtown that would be right nearby. And so that's a very big picture piece. And that state planning group has started up, and because we talked about it here in the plan originally, we've got a city council and the mayor that's serving on that committee, along with Kitty Piercy and Eugene. Mm-hmm. So we've got staff that are involved with that, and it had several meetings at ODOT, because it's ODOT Rail now, not a separate organization, it's part of the ODOT Transportation, it's a rail division. And so they're looking at that as a possible thing. I don't think we'll ever get anything in downtown Springfield. That's probably my best idea of it. The biggest problem that we have is getting something from Eugene to Portland. There's too many hassles getting from here to there with the freight rail that we have right now. So that will be a very long process. So maybe my kids can go to graduate school and then do a second thesis and succeed in their lifetime.
John, I'm going to just add one thing on that. So the Springfield 2030 refinement plan that I've been working on the last couple of years, we're working on policy development with the Springfield City Council on that, and I sent one of the things to you in an email. It was called the economic element of that plan. And just to let you know that we did put a policy in there about support for a rail station in downtown or another site. So again, a lot of these things that you've worked on are now being put as into our citywide policy document.
And I only said it's not like we're going to get something because there's such a huge issue getting the link between here and Portland viable for passenger rail, that where it ends is probably relatively small potatoes until that part is being solved. And so that's going to be a while. And if they had had a plan in place 10 years ago, or even 5 years ago, even 4 years ago, we would have had part of maybe $500 million coming to Oregon as a result of the lack of a plan, not you've got everything solved. Without a plan, we get $8 million, and Washington got $357 million, and then got another $200 million after that to do high-speed rail. So we're way behind Washington. We also looked at a downtown to a Main Street transportation study, and the outcome of that, because of the expense associated with that, would be perhaps a demonstration on a block downtown, and we're meeting with a number of staff people to try and figure out what that might include. We did a survey, thanks to NEDCO's activities this past Christmas season, just before, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and the top three items on that list were lighting, and then street furniture, and I'm not sure what the next one was, but lighting. So we get the impression that lighting should be part of this project. And so we're going through an array of things that might be possible and a number of different sources that might be possible out there. Complete the retail strategy implementation plan. We're kind of working on that with one of the committees through the Main Street program at NEDCO, with several of our staff. We haven't designed Mill Plaza yet, and we haven't... we've been implementing the parking plan, although it's hard to tell right now. We've got the signs made. We've identified, because of the cost of everything, that we've identified the first couple steps, which is get that deployed into the Main Street area. The actual enforcement of the parking signs will come later, but we have to sort of get through the first part. Right now, the income of the Urban Renewal Agency and for the downtown plan has dropped down a little bit, and so that's going to be making it hard for us to do too many things in the near future. And so the parking implementation is actually something that will take a little bit longer to put in place. But at least we'll have the signage, because we have 9 different categories for parking limits and whatnot downtown.
They've been drilling holes. Is that for the
that's
signs?
For the signs, okay. Right? So put up signs that will delimit the parking. It'll be essentially all 2-hour parking, I think, and maybe a couple other signs, but to be consistent throughout all of this area, around City Hall and off into the neighborhoods. And so we'll be working on the implementation part of it after that. So the one of the other things that we talked about was looking at wayfinding in the downtown. You know, how do people find their way around? So we had a way, part of the Sustainable Cities Year, we had a wayfinding plan that included some ideas as to how it might look in the downtown. But what they did was they inventoried every sign in the city, which we didn't have. They found out where they were and which direction it is if you're traveling in various directions, what you should be seeing. So they inventoried what people would be looking for, and they came up with sign sets, and this one is for the downtown area. And so they said, if you're driving this direction, here's the likely set of signs that you should have at this intersection for people to go in different. So they did sort of the mapping part of it as to where things should be found if you're driving or walking or bicycling throughout the whole city. So that was sort of, okay, we get the inventory. They think we know based on the 75 things that we should be directing people towards, whether regional, local, or pedestrian or bike-oriented. And then as with the result of that, we said, okay, let's start in the downtown area, basically what's this area in purple, and let's ask the next set of students to actually design the signage. So we had a review, the midterm review about 2-3 weeks ago, and there were 23 or 24 people in the class, so this is three of the 20 plus designs. Everyone had a completely, some were completely different, much more exotic than this. If you want to come over to the city manager's office after, there's three more, and I've got others that are over there. But each one has got a different set. Some are that this is for wayfinding signs. They actually, this group mapped the city overall in neighborhoods and named it and put boundaries on it. And then these students started doing materials, not only materials, but also signage that would give you the different areas of Springfield. There's Thurston, of course, with the Colts. This might be difficult if you put it in wrought iron. And this group did it. They did a takeoff of some of the signs that as part of LTD's facility, where you actually have informational areas, kiosks that would be out here. And so each one has got a different set of it. And so with midterm, they got our comments back, and so we'll be getting more stuff and more digital versions of this. So we'll bring in sign people as well as the local transportation staff and designers, and we'll probably hone it down so we'll have potential designs that actually have some viability in terms of our ability to put something up. This group identified these little wing signs like this, where you can just bolt them onto a pole, so you can change them up really easy, very simply, but it doesn't get that cachet of, you know, a whole system that would start in the downtown and eventually permeate the entire city. So that was kind of a fun piece. So it's all out there. The wayfinding stuff's going up. So we've got some things up here that just describe some of the stuff that's happened recently. If you've been to Planktown for a beer or a sandwich or some stuff, it's been busy every night. It's been open for the past 10 days. And it's been just packed with activity. And we've still got all the other stuff that seems to be going on in downtown. WeCar is likely to be moving from where its location is out in front of the library. We've got those electric charger stations downtown. So there's been a lot of activity. And if you've been in the staff side of it over here at the counter, there's been a lot of people coming in looking for places to do business and have activity. So we've got some new businesses that have opened up, including the old Tom and Johnny's. That closed, and now it's Moe's Tavern, with a little hint of Simpsons on it. I think they have pickled eggs, and the name, and I think that's all they have for Moe's Tavern. So there's that sort of thing. On a bigger scale, not part of the plan, but on a bigger scale, we're doing a Brownfields grant that we, the City of Springfield, City of Eugene, and Lane County got. It's about $650,000. To look at brownfield sites in the three communities. So we'd be looking at some in Goshen, we'd be looking at Glenwood, and some in West Eugene. There's an area that we see as most likely, but those are gonna be 60 phase one assessments that we can also distribute elsewhere in the city. So we're gonna be encouraging property owners. So if you know a property owner that interested in doing something with their lot or their building and redevelop it, but they don't wanna spend $6,000 to do a phase one, environmental report, this is a potential source of funds for that. So we're going to be getting that underway real quickly, and then there'll be a small number, maybe half a dozen, of phase twos. Those tend to be like $20,000.
Yes. What's the timing window for that?
The contract, I think, is being signed this week, and there'll be an outreach. There's already a website, and there's a couple of videos on it already in English and Spanish for people that own property, just to get an idea what a brownfield is, because people don't know what that is. Yeah, but it should be underway and announced in a big way in the next couple weeks, probably. Yes.
Does it have to be defunct already, or it can be something that's likely closing?
Could be something likely closing. It could be occupied right now, but okay. If you want to sell the property or do substantial redevelopment and it needs investments, typically banks will require some kind of level one to make sure they don't get caught up in some kind of a cleanup problem. And so this might be able to help out. So we've got a group of nine people that are giving this advice about outreach, mm-hmm. and they may have contacts that have property already that they'd like to bring in. Get some of their clients in to get this. So we're trying to get this kind of launched, and there's a chance that we might be able to get additional grants. We've been working on getting this for about 5 years. And because we're doing this Lane Livability Consortium, which is looking at systems of like health systems and transportation systems and recreation and all sorts of other systems and integrating those together in with better information, we were able to get the environmental assessment grants.
Is South Bay a good candidate for
yes.
that?
Just about anything.
Kind of do it ahead of time?
The biggest piece that we have is Glenwood right now, because we've got some funding that's been identified through a grant system from the state. So there's like $6 to $8 million that's already been identified for that, uh-huh. the first part of that link from about the entrance of the pizza driveway up to the bridges, and if we did that, we could probably do that for about $6 to $8 million. So we have funding for that, and we're looking at that segment first of all, but we might be able to do some others further down. The beauty about this is we could lump 3 or 4 properties together that are already together, even if they're not the same ownership, and do one study for the whole thing, because most of the information is pretty generic for each one. And so we might be able to do South A or some segment of South A, for example. So we're looking at willing clients that might be in Springfield. So we might end up with 20 assessments that might be done in Springfield. So it could be very helpful. It's just
that was the biggest grant the state gave out last year was the one we got.
So
pretty impressive.
If I have to answer questions, I mean, there's more stuff going on. We do have our SDC charge reduction, which we talked about, last time, and I think there were 5 businesses and organizations that applied for that. And that included Planktown, the new A3 expansion was part of that, and there's an optician that's over here on A Street that really nicely done change to the building. And then Tom and Johnny's originally got a reduction on the property.
Can you talk a little bit more about the A3 expansion? Are people aware of that? Because I don't know that much about it.
I can go through it, too. This is a good segue, because mm-hmm. we started in 2009 as a committee. So when did NEDCO come in to Bain and Eugene?
2009.
Okay. So I think we preceded, NEDCO by a little bit. So we have, here's the things that I've just written down that have happened since we started to kind of visualize and strategize and implement. NEDCO, Sprout, Washburn, Planktown, A3 School, which is that old, where the old dilapidated pool, hall was before. Karen's new shop. We've acquired some property, the Glenwood funding, Tom and Johnny's, this optician shop over here. What have I missed in terms of other things that have cited?
We've also done the potential ideas for a new library.
Okay.
So there's 17 or 18 concepts for a new library that's actually helping their foundation start the campaign for that.
And also then we've completed, Willamette Lane has the project across the Kelly mill site, the
city
mill race.
Yeah. Reconfigured the mill race. There's a new sculpture at the entrance of Main Street right now.
We've had a multitude of U of O classes working on the Booth Kelly site ideas, and also the Nicolai site on Main Street, just outside of downtown, but right at the edge.
So, I mean, it's been remarkable how much has happened as a result of people wanting to see change, you know, change agents. City, I think, has done a wonderful job of, with finite resources, you know, going out and getting some of these grants. I mean, this most recent grant was a huge deal. And then didn't we get one of these, what was the grant for the town, city, downtown grant that we got?
Oh, the facade improvement.
Oh, facade improvement grant through the block grant program.
Block grant, yeah.
Right. And NETCO will be operating that, I understand. So that's good. And NETCO's also got the farmer's market that's now permanent indoors, as well as dribbling on the outside, too.
The art walk is really picking up.
The art walk has really done a lot in the last few months.
Tomorrow.
Especially.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, let's go into NETCO, Claire. So let's talk about what's cooking there.
Excellent, because I have
literally
a box
and figuratively.
Yes, I do. It's more than you'll ever want or need, but I brought it in. So, first of all, I'm going to just give you all information about Sprout. And I can either pass it out or leave it all here at the end for you to pick it up, whichever you prefer. Although I'm going to make you take one of these. Because I just can't help it, because it's my nature. And take it for friends or what have you. But our big stockholder meeting is happening, coming up here in April. So it's a fundraiser for Sprout, but it's really a fun, free thing, basically, to taste all the food. And last year was such an amazing, really unique experience, and it was just a way to christen the space. And so I hope you all can come and bring people and tell people, and then, of course, buy stuff when you're there as the fundraiser, but that's the aside. I have some information here about what we're doing at Sprout. For those of you who might not know what the full approach is there, it's really an economic development strategy in a whole bunch of different ways. And one of the ways, of course, is that the market is year-round now, and it's every Friday from 3 to 7. We're also every Friday at 4 offering a tour of the entire facility if you want sort of the official tour while you're there shopping. It's kind of cool to see the kitchen all done and the upstairs all done. But the other piece that's really important is that we have an entire educational business development program associated with food-based businesses that's being run out of there and out of our offices on Main Street. And then the second floor are spaces for businesses who are incubating or who need a place to start their food-based business. Now, they may be farmers at the market, they may be kitchen users, or they may just be somebody who's in the food business, like a caterer who just wants to be in and around a scene that's all about food lovers and foodies and all of that. So the space is available now if you know anybody. And if you know anybody who thinks they might want to start a food-based business, send them our way as well. We've got a how-to network that's full of mentors that will help people learn how to do food business. It's really comprehensive, and the kitchen is just gorgeous if you haven't seen it. So it's a great facility that all feeds on what started off 5 years ago or more, really almost 6 years ago, as the Springfield Farmers Market. So it's just taken an amazing leap. And not to mention the fact that it's preserved a really classic church in downtown Springfield, which we're really happy to have done, even if it's a completely different sort of use. I brought buttons, too, that I'll leave up here for anybody who doesn't have their I Heart Sprout button to wear proudly every day, of course, everywhere you go. The other thing I wanted to share with you about our business development, we also do business development for all businesses, not just food-based. The food work is really happening mostly at the Sprout facility in the church, but we have some fairly extensive incubator classes that we call our Hatch programming, and we have an incubation series, we have an accelerator series, and so there are lots of different ways for businesses to learn about either doing better business, doing more business, or maybe deciding if they even want into business at all. And we help people evaluate that. And we pair the people in the classes with one-on-one counseling around financial, you know, budgeting, business planning, all that sort of thing, just to make sure that the businesses who are in Springfield get off on the best possible foot. And we just had our second class of Hatchling graduates, it's our Hatch program, who are off and running. We have a couple of people who decided not to do a business. We have a couple of people who are now looking for a location. And of course, because the Main Street program has business availability and inventory as part of its charge, we can now hook people up with space who are ready, because we keep all of that in a great database for downtown. So I'll let you take these if you want them. I won't force them on you. The other thing I wanted to share really quickly before I talk about the committees specifically is that we have our new nonprofit lending arm as well that's up and running. We've done about 125 loans so far since we started. And basically, this organization is a partner corporation to NEDCO, and it's a nonprofit lending organization that embraces all of our education and our hard-to-serve markets and hooks them up with the capital that they need to do their asset building goals, which is NEDCO's mission for all of our work. So we try to help people build personal assets, own a home, business assets, either start one or grow one, and then just individual goal setting. Some people just, I mean, their goal might be just to have a car that runs to get to and from work. We've got classes to help them do that as well, and credit builder loans and business loans and agricultural loans for farmers that we're now able to offer to the community that cannot get them through mainstream banking. And I brought just a little bit of a summary about what we've done lately. So, so far we've done 10 market loans in Springfield, and those are folks who are vendors at the farmers market or at other sort of small business fairs and things like that. So the most often application looks like, I make candles, I want to go to a market, but I don't have enough money to buy my materials to sell them somewhere at an event. So we loan them $1,000, they're able to buy their inventory, they sell it at the fair or the market, and then they repay us right away. And so it helps them do more business, and it's a really great little loan product for us to reach out to them. So we've done 10 of those. We've done some lumber lending, if you can believe that. There are certain types of lumber companies here in Springfield who have government contracts who don't get paid until after their work is done. And so we help them facilitate their cash flow with some loans that only we offer that the traditional banks aren't able to offer them. And that's created a ton of seasonal jobs.
So where does this capital come from?
I raise it. If anybody's interested, please call me. I have opportunities available. So it's a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We're designated by the Department of the Treasury, U.S. Treasury. And so we have to meet certain criteria. But one of the things that people can do is basically loan us money very, very inexpensively that we lend out for a little bit higher rate. And the space in between is how we keep our functions running.
Spread.
Yep.
And where are you getting your teachers from, your faculty, for want of a better word?
Everywhere. And we are constantly looking for experts in their field. And at this point, we have some great sort of standard business consultants, you know, accountants and business planners and things like that. What we're really looking for most often, though, are the really unique businesses who maybe were small at one point, but they're much bigger now, and they have some expertise to give to a fledgling coffee bean roaster, for example. We'll talk to the big guys and convince them that they need to help a little guy get started with some sort of a business model. So we're always looking for really intense knowledge that's not quite so business standard. Although we'll take any volunteers who want to teach, because we never have enough in any of the categories. But it's really sort of a knocking on doors and calling our friends and asking people who they know and who they really respect and who's successful in the business community.
What is the qualifications for example, like you said, someone who wants to start making candles and they ask for a $1,000 loan, what do they have to show their ability to repay?
Well, it depends on who they are, what type of loan they're after. So I would just have them call Lynn at our office, and I've got the flyers that have his name on it, and he can just run you through. We are a loan fund, so we do have criteria, but it is very much more flexible than most. So there's a lot of room.
Because I know lots of people that, you know, could really use the program, because the banks aren't going to lend them.
That's right.
So
yeah, so we collateralize things uniquely. Like, we'll take things for collateral that no bank ever would.
Right.
You know, like, the sort of the old story is that we take somebody's musical instrument if that's how they make a living, and you have to pay us back or you never get your trombone again, that kind of thing. We don't quite do it like that, but that's sort of the philosophy behind it.
You're sort of substituting for OUR credit union members here. They actually did a friend's saxophone.
Yeah.
$400.
Wow. Yeah.
So
let's say that you had somebody that had lazy money. Let's just use an example, $25,000, they wanted to, you know, bring it in. So how does what kind of interest and what kind of spread are you making, and what kind of amortization as far as payback, or is it kind of in constant circulation, knowing that they've got a, you know, a credit?
Well, we have a 2-year minimum investment window or loan. So it's a promissory note arrangement. We have a prospectus, and I'd love to sit down with you, John, and talk you through all of that and get your feedback on it, really. But basically, we are, at this point, we're paying anywhere from 1.5% to 3% on the money that people are giving us, and depending on how long they leave it with us and how much it is. And we have a minimum investment for an individual of $1,000, and then a minimum business investment of $5,000. And then we, of course, take donations of any size, because that's just a gift and it's a tax write-off. So,
does everybody else know about this?
Well, we haven't really started marketing it yet, because we wanted to get some loans under our belt, and we don't have that much capital yet. I mean, it's hard to raise capital. And so right now we probably have about $200,000 or so that Nedco has invested, and part of it I've raised. And we've got some other big things sort of in the works now, because we're a little bit more established. But pretty much every part of every week of mine is trying to rattle some cages and get the word out to the investors, because we have tons of demand. We have a waiting list right now of loans of all different kinds, businesses, auto, I mean, all kinds of things that people need just to get by.
In hearing your earlier presentation on this to another group, you talked about the average loan and the success rate on repayments of the. And so would you still want to share that information?
I do. I'd be glad to share. So far, out of the 120 loans that we've done, we've had zero delinquencies.
Wow.
Our portfolio is flawless right now. So we're very proud of that. And part of why that is because we have the connection between the educational resources and the money. So we really help people learn how to be a good credit customer, because ideally we're trying to create good mainstream banking clients. You know, we hope that the folks we're helping today don't always have to use our process. We hope that we're moving them along the financial path, you know, in their lives to get to the next place where they could go to some other lender and build their own track record in a more mainstream kind of way. But in the meantime, we're looking at job creation. We have over 20 jobs that have been created in Springfield with some of the loans that we've done. We've got all the temporary ones and the logging side that we're working on. So for Springfield, just having the availability and very little marketing, it's been kind of amazing when we tally up the numbers. 20 jobs is, you know, feels big to us, so we're pretty excited about it.
And an average loan size?
About $7,500 right now.
Good.
We're starting to do, since we've raised just a little bit more capital, we've started to do a couple of slightly larger business loans. So we've got two or three business loans that are about $25,000 each, which is probably about where we're comfortable for a while. We want to keep growing and, you know, until we can get bigger. Let's see what else we have here. Oh, you know, the other thing that we do, we've done 6 small business, 7 micro business, and then we also help a lot of people who need housing with these loans. We have a loan product that helps people who can't afford to pay the deposit for a new place to live. We give them really short-term little housing loans. So we've done 10 of those in Springfield lately, just to help people stabilize so they don't become homeless. So a lot of it is that sort of side of things too.
So how are people finding you? I mean, I see it all the time on, you know, with the website, and we all know about Nedco.
Right now it is just word of mouth. I mean, that's how big the demand is. It's because it's only the people that I've either talked to about investing or that have borrowed from us who tell people they know who need it. And, you know, like I said, we have a waiting list. So as soon as we can raise more money, we'll be able to do more. So,
Claire, what about all these like crowdsource things on the web? And is there
well, you know, we're small, and a lot of those crowdfunding sources require some heavy-duty maintenance for a fairly small amount of money, and we just don't have the capacity. So at this point, NEDCO is loaning all of my time, if you will. We have one paid staff person who is our community development loan expert, and so it's somebody that does all the underwriting, and we have a credit committee. I mean, we're very well structured in that way, but we only have one full-time staff person that's dedicated. Everything else comes from NEDCO, so it's hard for us to manage that, although we would love lots of little donors who didn't require high maintenance. I mean, you know, because small donors can get a lot of good feeling, I think, for their donation to us, but we can't do the tracking like some of those sites can. And we're on the ones that allow us to be one of the investment opportunities, you know, on the bigger ones that already exist. But in terms of our own effort, it would be hard, which is why we've got the $1,000 sort of minimum on an investment with a return. And investment is a kind of a word that we're using loosely. It's not in the securities sort of definition of investor. It's really just loaning us money to reloan. Let's see. So I've got information on those loans if you're interested. So they're all here. The exciting part is that we're also growing small farming as a part of all of this. So we have a whole separate loan pool that's just to help the farmers at the farmers market, because we want them to go year-round and we want there to be more healthy food and more local products at the farmers market. We're providing extra capital that's a little bit different to them so that they can begin to grow more crops so that they have more things to sell and ideally generate new revenue. And there's some strategies around food that are particular.
Let me jump in. Plankton.
Yeah.
It's been coming over to your farmers and buying food for their products.
Yep.
They've been very busy. And they've
good
been
customer.
Doing other Benedetto's and a few other places in Springfield. They've been local sourcing.
Good. The market is doing better than it's ever done. And we have fewer farmers, fewer shoppers, and the sales are higher.
Oh.
Go figure. When it gets to be the nice warm season and we've got people outside and inside and the kitchen's humming, it's going to be a really fun place to be. Especially during Art Walk.
Are people using the kitchen now?
We are taking interest lists and signing contracts now. So we haven't actually launched the kitchen. We sort of don't even want to get it dirty.
It's so pretty.
It's so pretty.
You started
to
sound like
a
librarian.
Oh,
you know, don't load the books.
Don't touch it.
But we expect the kitchen to be up and running by April 1st. We'll have all the tenants in there. Well, not all the tenants, but some of the tenants in there. So the promotion committee of the Main Street program is really busy with Art Walk. That's all they're doing right now, doing a great job. We've just had some staff turnover in the Main Street program, so we'll be looking for a new manager. But in the meantime, Paula, who is with ESAP, has taken over managing the Art Walk for us, and she's great. She was sort of doing it all anyway, and she stepped in a hurry and will help us keep that going until we find the right new staff person. The design committee is, of course, has worked fast and furiously on the facade program. And I don't know if, Ted, you want to talk about that? I brought flyers for the upcoming information session for people. You can take a stack of any of these to anybody who you think might want them. So
I'm on the board of directors for NEDCO. And then I've also been participating in this Main Street design committee for 2 or 2.5 years. Karen's been on that committee as well as me. And we spent about 9 months putting together design guidelines for facade improvement applications that would come in. And NEDCO, for Main Street, applied for CDBG funding for some facade improvement monies. We finally got that contract hammered out so that the money is going to be distributed in the proper ways. And so on March 20th, we're going to have an informational meeting to Main Street businesses to let them know that this application form is out there, that these are the guidelines for the sorts of improvements that we're hoping to fund, and that they can start giving us applications. So we're setting up the design review board that will process the applications, rank them probably isn't the right term, but evaluate them based on certain benefits that would bring to Main Street overall. For example, foot traffic, increased foot traffic. Hard to necessarily put a finger on, but presumably application A will look different than application C in that regard. So then we're going to have the review timeline there. Then the applicants that are awarded, if you will go through the loan approval process through Community Lending Works, this arm, this affiliate corporation with NEDCO, to make sure that everything lines up there. And I guess I'm thinking by the end of summer, we'll actually have things underway. So it's been about a six-month longer process than we on the design committee hoped it would be. And there was a point in time where the design committee thought, gosh, this really isn't going to come together. But the momentum on the contract, I mean, Kevin Coe with City of Springfield worked very diligently on this. Maybe the design committee wanted him to work harder. But I think he did a very good job. And we've got a very good contract in place to administer this now. And the hope is, of course, is that it's successful this first year. The results are tangible to people that come to Main Street. And we can do it again and again and again. And over a period of 3 or 4 years, improve a quarter of the facades or something like that. So it's the hope is to get it to be a rolling process for the period of time it needs to be to get momentum going.
So it could be self-sustaining in a way? Possibly? Or is it all grant money?
Possibly. Okay. You know, again, it's a really hard time to fundraise.
Yeah.
And Claire spends incalculable hours doing it and worrying about it. For the Main Street process at NEDCO, getting to be self-sustaining is certainly the goal, and actually getting that to be outside of NEDCO, the Main Street program, to run itself.
Yeah.
So the facade improvement program would luckily follow suit if possible.
Did we get any, because I know that we rolled this out at the mixer, did anybody...
We talked it up.
Talked about it,
yeah.
And because I had to leave early, did anybody show interest in...
No, and I didn't really solicit them to do so. We wanted to have this March 20th event be the one where we really talk and focus on this specifically. And then we're going to do a mass mailing to Main Street addresses that are within the boundary for this program. And then once everyone has had the opportunity to receive the postcard, if you will, then we're going to go door to door to people that we know either are interested and to let them know now's the time, or to people that we think could really benefit from the program.
So
they haven't heard about it before.
If you mail out this thing and you get 30 people beating your door down the next day,
mm-hmm.
do you need to go out and pound the pavement and try and get more?
Or do you come to John's office and we go, John, what you got?
Yeah, what you got, yeah. Please do, if you do
I
that.
Will.
Yeah.
So let's kind of change the agenda around a little bit and talk about... other projects related to Main Street, the corridor planning, historic surveys. So, Linda, why don't you?
I just have one. It'll only take a second. So, the downtown Main Street corridor planning is a grant that we got, that the city got, for a little over $200,000 to do a visioning of the entire Main Street corridor from downtown all the way out to Thurston. So it's a great opportunity, and we are doing consultant selection right now, and we'll be starting this project as early as April, probably May. And it has a relation with downtown because LTD is also doing a transit feasibility study to determine what kinds of transit improvements will happen along the entire corridor. And they're not calling it an alternatives analysis yet because we want to talk to the people first to find out what the people would like to see in the corridor. So it's pretty amazing, and that's going to be going on soon, too.
How does that tie into the ODOT, study? Has that been put on hold for a while due to funding issues? Or?
No. It's kind of been put on hold in that we want to be coordinated with that. So
okay.
We don't want to confuse the public by going out and talking to the public about four different projects because
mm-hmm.
we have four different projects going on in the corridor. LTD is also doing a Smart Trips program rollout in the corridor, which is they go out and contact businesses and schools and educate people, to give them packets with free bus passes and tell them how to use the transit system. Great maps, set of maps, so it's really good outreach. So we're coordinating all those things into one kind of big mega project called the Main Street Corridor Project. And it has a governance team, and it's pretty complicated. And lots of different funding sources with different things attached to those funding sources. But this committee may be involved, you know, as we get into that as a kind of a stakeholder group again, too. So just wanted you to be aware of it because you'll probably hear about it soon if you haven't already. There's been already one article in the paper about it.
Okay, so let's take about 5 minutes and just, you know, throw out some things as far as projects that you think we should be looking at that have some immediate impact but maybe are realistic with regards to what we have to bring to the table as far as, you know, funding. The only one that I was thinking of is that with so many bicyclists and trying to encourage, you know, bicycle traffic, maybe we could find a place along Main Street that we could put a really, really nice bike rack. You know, trick it all out and, you know, make it.
They've got more people coming by bike at Planktown
now. And have a real central place that's secure that we could use for bicycles.
Talk to U.S. Bank about that corner. There's a bed right there that comes in their back door. The bank on that corner, getting corner from Planktown, across the street from your place.
Uh-huh.
I think that, you know, if you're talking about something like that, and that wouldn't be a very expensive thing. You know, John, you were bringing up bike paths, but I'm going back to what Linda was saying about this whole lighting piece. I mean, serving on SRDC for as many years as I've sat on that, this has been just ongoing, and we keep looking at what are the expenses, but we're not looking at what are some simple solutions, and what can we do with CDBG funds and with support from this group and others to just get something that changes what that feels like downtown. And of course there's the nice plan to get some pedestrian area lighting, but maybe that comes through the corridor when you're doing that. But what is it that we can do now? Just like what can we do with the facades right now?
So the council, when Courtney and Christy Krueger went back to the city council and said, here's the results of the two-way Main Street study, and it's like, okay, $75 million later, we could make that adjustment with no problem. So we don't have that kind of funding. And they said, but the consultant said, it's not a safety issue right now for doing something like this. So let's do a demonstration block. You know, so you do one block. We get 8 blocks in Main Street, basically from Mill to 10th or so, 8 or 9 blocks. And lighting is still the big issue. So Brian Barnett walked it, and we looked at various things, and we've got 8 or 9 different ways that you can do lighting. So we were actually thinking, in fact, there's somebody that's looking somewhere in the organization that's looking at potentially a lighting grant that would be similar to the facade improvement grant. You could do lighting as part of that grant, for example. But what Brian would like to do is individual buildings in some cases, or like they're standing alone in the middle of a block, you know, there's nothing else around it. Or the bank, which has got lighting, but it's all on the parking side of it. And across the street, it's dark for the most part. So we're looking at things that could be done interior to the building, exterior to the building, all privately, or we could be doing some public stuff too. And there's a number of options. So he's going through a short 4 or 5 ways of doing it. So he's looking at stringing stuff across the street with lighting over the sidewalk, for example. And I said, well, why would you have, you know, that's where you've got taller buildings. And he said, but, you know, there aren't that many tall buildings downtown to do that kind of zigzag and then dropping lighting along the sidewalk. I said, so why don't you just do it to a building to a small pole like you have for a sign that says no parking? You know, you got a 3-inch pipe or whatever. And you can just run it like that. So you don't have the weight of it being over the street. You don't have all that load. So you can still do it along the street, but you can do it at a much lower cost than going all the way over here. So he's looking at those options where you have just a light facility. And where you plug it in, could it be plugged into a private source, public source? We're looking at all those as options. So he's got an array of things that might be done, and he's coming up with some ideas that what we'd like to do is suggest some things that could be additive over time, because I think the long-term piece is that maybe we can't fund it to do one block for lighting with the posts that we have that be 12 or 14 feet tall, it's $180,000 for a block. So you're looking at $1.5 million to do all of Main Street with just those posts, because you got to do underground wiring and everything.
This could be one block, and the people can see how it all comes together. Then that creates momentum.
Then I'll go down to get a loan from
her. Better present a grant request because we have something to show for what we're doing.
It's better to have that one block than wait 4 years and still not get anything yet.
The council does not want to wait 4 years. The mayor said at your opening, which we didn't mention, I should have. Haven is a new business in the downtown area. She said, what's happening with the lighting? And so that's, we were just about to go to her and say, here's what we're doing, what would you like us to do next? So that was, we were only a week away from doing that. So we're pursuing that. And we don't want to be 4 years out on this thing. The council, I'll just tell you, some years back in the early 90s, we didn't have sidewalks the length of Main Street. And the council said, we're going to put sidewalks on the length of Main Street. It's 7 miles long. That's a big project. It took us 3 years to do it. But we did it, the whole length of Main Street. Right now we're only looking at 8 blocks, and the funding requirements are much greater than getting sidewalks out there right now. So we're looking, and we don't have the resources given the way the economy is going for a public sector agency relying primarily on property taxes on these. So we're trying to cobble together things that maybe some options to increase the safety and make sure that those, not just the Friday night walks, but any other walk is going to be as safe as possible, as soon as possible.
Seems like you get a good return on it, though. I mean, it brings a lot more people down.
We changed out the lights to white lights, and so now we have the next issue is that we have more people down there. They want more stuff. So it'll steamroll. And frankly, we're seeing, I got three people in this past week that want to open up a restaurant in downtown.
Everyone wants to open up a restaurant.
Well, like attracts like.
Exactly.
Did you know that Planktown was going to go in when you were thinking of siting your...
Yeah,
well, there
right.
you go.
But even if they hadn't, I would have taken the spot because I knew it was a good spot.
Yeah.
But that was the icing on the cake. So, I mean, that's just, and so many people knew that Planktown was coming in, but then to see it front page like that, it's all of a sudden the people who have been interested, it's like, we want a piece of that.
Yeah.
So,
But
the lighting issue, we've been talking about this for so long, that would be... It would restore citizens' confidence in the city. It would restore the business owners' confidence, because it's something that's been talking about, and people don't understand when you try and explain to them, because I hear it all the time, and not just, mostly I hear it from other business owners, but I've been hearing it from just people coming downtown, and you try and explain to them, because they say, why can't the city just put some lights up? And it's like, you try and tell them, well, there's infrastructure that has to happen, and there's this, and there's this. But I said that is a number one concern.
I'll tell you, in 1988, ODOT came in and did the pebbly sidewalks, and they did the bump outs at that time. And we said, this is a great time to put in conduit in the sidewalks, so when we get to putting in lights, we can just connect it up and put the light there. Well, we don't know where the conduit is. The as-builts did not include anything that referred to the conduit.
So, and I but know, it's there.
But we paid for it, and I know that, because it was an expense. It was about $20,000 in 1988.
Find it,
and so,
and you put a wire down.
Get Doppler radar.
I need a dowser.
I need a conduit dowser.
So one of the things that I'd like to do, I want to close the meeting no later than... 6:45, which is a little bit beyond what we said. But we have not met for a year. We've got some vacancies here. I need to rotate off the committee. We need to have new blood, new ideas, new energy. So we have right now, where I am, two vacancies, a general member, community at large member, and then we need a member from the school district. And that's something I guess we'll have to talk to Nancy or her heir apparent about. So do we have, do you guys have any names of people that are really, interested in what we're doing here?
I have an invitee here.
Pardon?
I have an
yes. Welcome to the committee.
My name's Julie Romig. I live in the Washburn District.
Oh, even better.
I've been there for 5 years now, and I've been really excited about what I've seen happen downtown, and I've really been watching it, and I would love to be a part of it and just keep it, the momentum going, because I feel like there has been a lot that's happened since I've been here, so I'm very interested in being involved.
Take that under advisement, would you, please?
I will. We have to do an official recruitment and all that, but I actually have application forms with me. So.
Yeah. Are you officially, I know you were stepping down as chair, but I didn't realize you were also leaving the committee.
Well, I mean, I would, I've got my hands full on other stuff right now, and I just, you know, in a perfect world, I'd like to turn it over, you know, in its entirety. I mean, somebody like Ted, for instance, because he's had long, you know, there you go, Ted. Lots of continuity, knows the issues, can energize discussion. But that's what we need. We need people that can bring their skill sets together and can just, you know, raise their hand and say, here's some ideas, here's some brainstorming. So, I mean, you're committee members and you know what the dynamics are. So if you want somebody that's just not going to, you know, play committee, but be involved, come up with a name and give it to Linda. Jim Yarnell is, you know, he resigned. Ken Eilers, you know, resigned. And Jim, for health reasons, Ken couldn't hear. You know, Jim's just got all kinds of, you know, health-related issues. And who else did we... I haven't seen the vice chair ever since he was appointed vice chair. but I mean, I'm not.
He's our planning commission liaison. Yeah. He's still on the planning commission. He was reappointed recently.
And I don't know what, you know, there's stuff that may be going on in people's lives that I'm not aware of, and I don't want to, you know, cast aspersions. But it's just the fact is that if we have a committee member, we wanted as much continuity as possible so that people are here on a regular basis. I mean, I think we've got a really well-comprised committee. And Bob, without you being involved, it would be a lot more difficult because of your, you know, what the Park District has done, the statement that they've made, and just, you know, your background in this. We need to have some really strong candidate from the school district.
I'll put some feelers out into the schools. Okay. I can think of.
There should be somebody
people.
Off their facilities committee that would be.
What? I mean,
they've got some great leadership, you know, within the district.
Now, I know we had an administrator before. How do we feel about teachers? I mean, what? I just don't like. What kind of weight are we hoping that they pull with the district to invite them to the committee?
Well, somebody with the connection between their facilities down here, I think, is really key.
Saraceno. Is it John Saraceno?
Yeah.
Who's the facilities guy?
Yeah. He's sort of booked up right now.
I'll bet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, the commitment isn't that large.
Yeah.
We only meet maybe a couple times a year, unless something really ramps up that we need to bring you in more often.
Well, I would differ from that perspective a little bit. And so, you know, I kind of have three hats. I have a little bit of a NEDCO hat, a little bit of the design committee hat. I had a historic commission hat for a while. Mm-hmm. And then I have this committee's hat. And, I mean, everything you hear about downtown is about this momentum. And from the thing that I say in every meeting I go to, it's coming from all of these different directions, mm-hmm. which is just great. Mm-hmm. And downtown literally has turned this corner by these different factions all essentially pulling in the same direction. And this committee has definitely been part of it from sort of the city side of things. Mm-hmm. Well, the way I see the landscape right now is things are really starting to happen, like Planktown, like Sprout, like Haven. I mean, lots of very positive things are happening. And a lot of the other hats that I wear, NEDCO gets credit. Mm-hmm. The Main Street program's about to get credit for the facade improvement mm-hmm. program. And I think this committee needs to make sure that any contribution we've made is obvious, clear, and part of that momentum. So I sort of think we should actually re-energize a little mm-hmm. bit. We went through this very heavy lifting right. planning stage mm-hmm. and where people put in a lot of hours. And then You know, we've kind of had a lull, which I think was deserved. But I think if this committee can re-energize, have four or five meetings between now and the end of the year, and do the bike rack on the outside, just anything that says, and the city did this. So, you know, Bart did this, Karen did this, Sprout did this, and the city did this, even if it's the bike rack. I think the timing is right for that. And if we can manage the energy to get that hog over the stile, I think it would be worth our time.
Are you putting it back in or taking it out?
I agree. Claire, so what about representation from NEDCA? It wouldn't have to be NEDCA as an agency, but somebody that could be a board member that would provide momentum and could give us, you know, information as to what's going on with NEDCA, because NEDCA has been a huge opportunity for Springfield.
Mm-hmm. I think we could talk about it, right, Ted, at the next board meeting or something?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm on the board.
Okay, well then, yeah, I would really think that would be very appropriate.
But Ted's already, he's on the board.
But he's on as general public, so maybe we create, ask the council to adjust and say, let's do it NEDCO since it's so involved with downtown activities. And then we have another general public opportunity out there.
We can also create new slots on the committee as the committee evolves, too. I mean, I remember the last time we talked about this at our last meeting, Dan Egan suggested he thought we needed more business people. Yeah. Not just necessarily downtown.
I'd approve more of a business
than but, you know, outside business people was his suggestion.
My understanding is that our job after the big heavy lifting phase was to be the keeper of the plan, and that people would be touching base with us to let us know how the progress is going. I still feel like there's a lot of potential for us to roll our sleeves up and be doing work, and it's nice to have all this reporting done, but I kind of feel like we're kind of in a plateau position as a group. We could be doing more. And I think being the keeper of the plan and the vision is important, and but it feels maybe a little two-dimensional.
So if I would comment on that, I would say, you know, as a staff person, mm-hmm. I see certain things going on. I see NEDCO doing things. I see some involvement that we have with some of those programs. Linda's doing some stuff. I see it in the businesses. Mm-hmm. And it may be a little uneven. And so part of what you might be doing is looking at, as a committee, where are we lagging behind? Mm-hmm. We've got a couple of vacant lots down here. We'd like to do some infill. There was actually a proposal to one of the property owners to build two buildings downtown, mm-hmm. and the property owner declined. And mm-hmm. I was surprised, but you know that was going to be $2.5 million worth of investment. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be waiting for something like that. So maybe there are other things that could be done. You know, getting property owners on board with changes, mm-hmm. And get them to move ahead. Mr. Reed has got a building down here that needs needs someone to go out and find people to go into that building. So there's a lot of opportunities. And frankly, from a staff standpoint, I'm subdivided between downtown, mm-hmm. Glenwood, Gateway, Mohawk. So far, I haven't got into Thurston yet. But I'm sort of divided way too thin as to what might be done. And there were other people that could certainly pick up some threads of that thing and pull it in the right direction and weave it so that it's workable.
So a question about that, just in terms of timing, in terms of different things that are going on that we can be involved in. Are we too far out to really, as a group, get revved up about the Mill Street Plaza? Because that's an essential piece of the plan that we worked on. Like, can we be, I mean...
So, on the Mill Street Plaza, the direction I got was don't lose the plaza. I said, okay. So, we're going to try and buy the first piece. There's two others that have to be bought, and there are businesses that are in there. I don't want to displace the businesses without them being able to find another mm-hmm. location. But the design of the plaza is one of those things we haven't launched yet.
Right.
And so, there could be grants that we could write and get things. There's a couple of, is it Arton grants, I think they're called, that we could do design on something like that. Mm-hmm. They would pay for that. AIA might do it as a project.
I'm sure.
Those are kinds of things mm-hmm. that could be launched with this committee saying, here's how we would like to start that process and what we'd like to see in the RFP, what we'd like to see in the design piece that might come out of that. So it's useful, you know, people, if they're interested in doing that thing, because that's another chunk that's not moving forward.
Right.
And like the library, if you don't have an idea of what you're funding, you're not going to get two more parcels purchased and $2 to $6 million identified to fix the plaza in a way that it should be fixed.
Right.
So it's a long-term piece, but you'd like to at least say, here's our dream. And when you have the dream, it's easier to say, we can build it at that.
Well, I think that, you know, committee can recharacterize itself, kind of recharter itself, for want of a better word. We started out as DURAC, you know, down to an urban renewal with, you know, hardly any money to work with because it was all incremental. And then we kind of morphed into, you know, Downtown Advisory Committee. But now we have, you know, all the committees that are tied in to NEDCO. And so I think it's just a matter of sitting down looking at what do you think the mission is and how people here can best, you know, make a statement and be effective and not, you know, be redundant. So, and maybe that's what the next meeting should be about, is just to, you know, think it through and come up with, you know, do some brainstorming. How many members do you want? What kind of representation? Cross-section of, you know, business, you know, public sector, different agencies in this area. And then once you do that, then who's the best possible person to slot in? Because now we know what we're looking for, and we know why we're looking for who we're looking for, because this is part of our, you know, total, you know, action plan matrix. So let's just go get the best damn person we can to make it work. But again, I think that I need to kind of back away, because I've got some issues. I mean, I chair the PERS board.
Just and, a little, you know, thing.
It's just, oh my God. Among other things. So, I mean, I do kind of have my plate full. And even if I didn't, I mean, you'd need to have some rotation at times. Stylistically, you know, different people have different ways of running things. So I would really look among yourselves as, who do we think would be a good person to move in, you know, to a chair position, vice chair, and then go forward on it. So do you want to maybe think about the time element, Linda, and get people, give them some options there?
Yeah, I mean, okay. Does that resonate with the rest of you?
John, are you going to come to a, like, hand over the keys meeting? Another meeting?
if everybody understands this, the hand in the keys meeting, yeah. Okay. So let's do that. Let's come up with another meeting and look at that as kind of how do we, you know, go from this point forward? What kind of, you know, people do we want to see as part of the committee? Be thinking about potential names. And we'll just go forward.
I think it'd be helpful to go back to square one with Linda and just make sure you know what the charge is from the city council.
Yeah,
right.
Because, you know, we need to be consistent with that. We are appointed by the city council.
And, you know, and that's good feedback. And they may say, my sense is that as long as we're really relevant and trying to affect what they're trying to see happen, we can probably, you know, reshape ourselves a little bit.
That's why I just need to be reminded why I'm here. Yeah. And part of that, I think I go back to Annie's point about, hey, we're doing this downtown plan. We're going to be the eyes and ears and the implement to make sure that continues forward with it, and not be a plan that ends up on the shelf and we're doing another one 10 years from now that because we didn't really dust off the other one. So I think I think it's absolutely a great idea to sit down and refocus on where we want to go. And by the way, look up solar lights for a possibility downtown.
Yeah. Okay.
And some grant dollars there.
And if I may, you've already identified bicycles, lighting, and I talked about the plaza. So you got three things right there that can easily
Boy, the bike thing, you can put that together really quickly, and you get a lot of visibility. Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
We can bring new members on. We need to be ready to get a quick education.
Thank you, John. Bravo.
Thank you. And good luck on the first thing. Don't take too much away from us.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, now that actually, man. For the committee members.